Matthew chapter 6 tonight. We're going to look at not all of verses 1 through 18. We're going to look at a few of them together. But this shifts gears a little bit in Matthew. We've looked at Matthew chapter 5. We've looked at Beatitudes and who we are as kingdom citizens in this world. We've looked at being salt and light. We've looked at the law and how that applies to us as God's people in this world. And Jesus was giving some correction to their understanding in his day, that the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they were teaching in certain ways. And Jesus says, you've heard it said this way, but I'm telling you. And he teaches us truly about anger, about lust, about marriage and divorce. He talked about oaths. He talked about eye for an eye and our loving our enemies. And one of the key things in all of that was that Jesus was getting to the heart. It wasn't just about outward actions. It was the heart and the motive behind our living for the Lord. And that's the same key theme that Jesus is going to emphasize here in Matthew chapter 6 in verses 1 through 18. Jesus is going to speak about religious duties that were common of the Jewish people and even those early Christians, of giving to the poor, of prayer, and of fasting. Three very good things, and Jesus is ultimately going to get to the very heart of the matter by speaking about our heart. He's going to say it's not just about doing those religious duties, it matters about the heart behind them. It matters about the motivation and what leads you to give and what leads you to pray and how you fast. At the end of the day, God doesn't just care about us doing those things to check them off a box. He cares about the heart behind that as well. So Jesus is going to say in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So, one thing that we have to address as we walk through this passage tonight is there seems to be some kind of inconsistency with this verse and another one we've already studied. Jesus says here, watch out or beware of practicing your righteousness before men. Well, earlier, Jesus has told us in Matthew chapter 5 that you are the light of the world. A city set on the hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone hide a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So one question you have to ask is, which is it, Jesus? Are we to shine before men, or are we to not practice our righteousness before men? It's a good question, right? Well, thankfully, there's been way smarter people than I am that have thought about this before me. And two quotes I think that are helpful. John Stott says this, it's our human cowardice, being afraid, which made him say, let your light shine before men, and our human vanity, our pride, which made him tell us to beware of practicing our piety before men. So, going back to being light of the world, Jesus had to tell us to be the light of the world because naturally we clam up. Naturally we do hide our light. Naturally we do put the lamp, basket over the lamp. And Jesus said, no, you need to shine for the Lord in this world. But Jesus also knows our heart, and he knows that sometimes we can become prideful in our shining. And he tells us, don't always show of who you are. One other man once said, we are to show when we're tempted to hide, and we are to hide when we are tempted to show. I think that's helpful to think about that as well. So there's times in our everyday life that we have an opportunity to tell people that we are followers of the Lord, that we are believers, who we are, and we clam up. We think, I don't know about praying out and loud in public at the restaurant. I don't know what people are going to think. No, shine your light. Don't be afraid. Pray and give thanks to the Lord for the meal that he gave you. But when you're tempted in that prayer to say, thou, thee art God, and you are high, almighty, you don't normally talk like that. Maybe temper it down a little bit and hide when you're tempted to show. This is what Jesus is saying. So we are to shine before men, but we are not to practice our righteousness, our Christian life, in a way that is prideful, in a way that is to be, as Jesus says, noticed by men. That's the key thing here. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, they looked the part. They did the right things, but they did it for, as Jesus is going to tell us, the applause of mankind. They did it for a pat on the back. Look at how awesome that Pharisee is. Look how awesome that Christian is. They read their Bible in public every single day at Chick-fil-A, and we're going to pat them on the back. In all reality, those people are reading their Bibles and playing on Facebook the whole time they're doing it. I'm just kidding, obviously. But they're looking religious, but they're not truly being religious. And so this is what Jesus is saying. So he gives us three illustrations: giving to the poor, prayer, and fasting. So giving to the poor, we see this in verses 2 through 4. Jesus says this: "So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So the first thing that we notice is Jesus is speaking of giving, assuming that God's people are going to be givers. So that's a thing that Jesus is assuming with giving and praying and fasting. He's assuming that these are your regular Christian practices, are to do these things. So when you give, and then he specifically says to the poor. So when we think about giving, we can think about giving is giving a portion of the money that God has given us to give back to him for the purpose of advancing his kingdom. So that's our giving. We give to the church on a regular basis, but we also have opportunities to give to the poor. We see this practice in the Old Testament. We see this practice in the New Testament. The Old Testament, you can think about actually giving money out of Deuteronomy 15. Don't hide, don't withhold from your brother who is in need. Or in Leviticus 19, you can think about the example of, well, really, Ruth, who was gleaning in the fields. And instead of collecting all of the harvest, you were going to leave some for the sojourner, the foreigner, the widow, those who were in need. And they were going to be able to glean. That was giving some, in some sense, to the poor. A few weeks ago in Revival, Mark preached out of Acts chapter 11, and he talked about the church there in Antioch being able to collect money and send it back to the church in Jerusalem or Judea who were in need because of a worldwide famine. So God does call us to give and to also meet the needs of the poor. Well, Jesus is going to push back about how the Pharisees were doing it. Notice what he says: when you give to the poor, here's how not to do that. Do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, so that they may be honored by men. So you can imagine this. They see a poor person there, and they'll say, "Hey, I'm giving to the poor right now." They walk over there. "You see this? Let me grab my wallet out," and they give to the poor. And they can, there might be trumpets, or there's just a lot of fanfare with this. We've all seen movies and TV shows where people want to give, or it's in reality too. People give to charities. How do they give to them? They give with a ginormous check that costs hundreds of dollars to get that check printed. Why? Because they want to be seen giving to those who are in need rather than giving in secret. So we might not actually have a trumpet that we're blasting that we are giving, but we want people to know that we give to the church, to the poor, to those in the world. Jesus is going to teach us it doesn't matter if anyone knows at all, whether what you give and how much you give and how you give. As long as you do give, your Father knows what you do. And at the end of the day, that's one of the key parts of this whole thing, is that we all have pride. We all have pride, even as Christians, and we want, I've said this before, we want an attaboy. We want people to pat us on the back. That makes us feel good. And we want to feel good for doing good things. You know, and sometimes, a lot of times, we want credit or recognition for that. That's a whole lot of this. Well, in reality, these are regular Christian duties that don't require, don't need recognition, but we can sometimes seek out this recognition. And this is what Jesus is pushing back against. Jesus is saying, don't do that. So how are you to do it? Verse 3, when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So Jesus is going to tell us two things. The proper way to give is don't tell everybody about it. Second, when you give, he says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Well, that's impossible. What he means is don't give yourself self-congratulations all the time about it. Go back home and say, wow, look at that great thing I did. That person was there, and you're just sitting there, you're just reminiscing over and over. Did you see their face, how they lit up when I gave them this money? That was so wonderful of me to do that. This is what Jesus is saying, don't do. Forget about it. You did it, great. Move on from giving to the poor. Don't continue to pat yourself on the back for what you're doing. Verse 4, why? So that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. We'll come back at the end of our time together and speak about what rewards can look like and do look like. But here's the first example about giving and not being pompous, if you will, in our giving. Second, Jesus talks about praying. Now, we're just going to look at verses 5 through 8 tonight. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to walk through the Lord's Prayer together because Jesus gives us a specific model how to pray, but tonight we're going to consider really kind of how not to pray for just a little bit. Verse 5, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. So again, Jesus specifically says how not to pray right there. Then verse 7, look down at verse 7 for just a moment. When you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard by many, for their many words. And so Jesus is saying, well, here's two examples of what not to do when you pray. Now, I didn't give you a picture of this, but throughout each of these examples, Jesus calls people hypocrites. And what he meant by this in this Greek time and Greek culture is that in the theater, instead of putting on makeup, they would wear a mask. This is what they do. You're changing who you are, your identity. And he is using this this language of saying you're changing who you are before other people. That's what ultimately you're doing. You're not being who you truly are when you act in this way, when you give in this way, when you pray in this way. So verse 5 tells us how the hypocrites pray. They stand in the street and in the synagogue so that they can be seen by men. Leads us to another question. Is it wrong for us to pray publicly? Well, I hope not. I've already done it a few times tonight. Now, I have prayed publicly. I pray often publicly as a pastor. Many of you have an opportunity to pray with your families publicly and pray for others in a public way. So I don't think Jesus is condemning public prayer at all. Even when he says to go to your, in verse 6, when you are to pray, you're to go into your inner room and close your door and pray to your Father who's in secret. Your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. What Jesus is saying is that you should not be a different kind of person in your public prayer than you are in your private prayer. Or another way to say it, if the only time you ever pray is publicly and you never pray privately, then maybe you're acting like a hypocrite here. You have to have a closet time, a personal time of prayer with the Lord before you pray publicly. And then, so he says, well, what's the attitude of those that pray publicly? Again, they're in the synagogues or on the street corners, and they're praying so that they can be seen by men. Again, this is the heart of it. This is, I look very religious. I'm praising the Lord. I'm glorifying him, is what they think. But in all reality, they're only praying so that people can say, wow, that was a great prayer that that person offered. That was incredible. Did you hear that language? Did you hear how many Old Testament scriptures he quoted in his prayer? That's what they're looking for. And again, we're not going to say that that's what we're doing, but that's how these Pharisees were acting. Think about Luke 18. When Jesus gives the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee, and you have the Pharisee standing there and he says, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like these other people and I fast twice a week and I give to the poor and I'm not like this tax collector. in the middle of this prayer, what is he doing? Lord, you should be considered blessed to have me as one of your people. That's what basically he's saying. He's praising himself in the midst of his prayer. He is praying like a hypocrite. He's looking for the applause of man. So Jesus is saying, don't do that. If I can say it this way, be yourself when you pray publicly. If I can apply it to myself as a pastor, as one who preaches the word, one of the things that irks me as a preacher is to hear people preach and they don't ever sound like that in a normal conversation. I get that there's a sense in which the preaching moment, there's something special about the preaching moment. But there are some people that turn into a completely different person when they start preaching. You think, where did that come from? They just become somebody that they are not. And this is what Jesus is saying here. You're doing this with your prayers. You're not being authentic. You're doing it, why? To get a pat on the back. So again, that's the Pharisees, the Gentiles in verse 7. They think that they're going to be heard by using many repetitious words and a lot of different words. That's why Jesus goes into the next part about giving the model of how we're to pray, giving us something specific to follow. Sometimes we can pray in repetitious ways just because it's habit. Just because that's the way we've done things, we can pray that way, and we can repeat the same kind of phrases. And you know, that's one of the reasons I have stressed praying through Scripture together, because sometimes we get into prayer ruts, if you will. They all sound the same. We say the same language, Lord, 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 and that's why we have all kinds of names for God in the Bible, the Almighty, the Lord of Hosts, the King of Kings. We have different language to speak to Him. And I think that's important. So I don't think that's what Jesus is saying here about getting into a rut when you pray, but there are some that just use meaningless, repetitious words, and Jesus is saying, God is not impressed by that. God is more impressed by the heart, saying just a simple prayer offered in faith. And it doesn't have to be a lot of words as long as you mean them with your heart. So Jesus tells us in verse 6 that we are to, what are we to do? We must pray ourselves privately as people of God. We understand that. And then look at verse 8. One other thing to notice. Do not be like them, speaking specifically of the Gentiles, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Mm-hmm. So two reminders there for us is that we must, again, pray, be the same people who pray privately as we do publicly, and that we also need to remember that we are not trying to twist the arm of God in our prayers. God's our Father. He loves us. He cares for us, and He will provide for us, and He knows what we need before we even ask. And so we need to understand that about prayer, and this is what Jesus reminds us of. Martin Lloyd-Jones, I've quoted him, I think, every week since we started this series together. He says this, public prayer should be such that the people who are praying silently and the one who is uttering the words, that would be publicly, should no longer be conscious of each other, but should be carried on the wings of prayer into the very presence of God. I think that's helpful to think about, that when I pray publicly here on a Sunday morning, that my prayer, I should not be thinking of the congregation necessarily, should be thinking of God. And the congregation should not be thinking about me, but should be thinking of God. And when we are praying in the right manner, in the right heart, in the right way, that's what is happening. So Jesus talks about giving. He talks about praying. Then he talks about fasting. And this is over in verses 16 through 18. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So, again, Jesus is going to assume that we are fasting. And again, fasting is this temporary giving up of food or drink for a time to be able to seek God. throughout the Bible. There are many different variations of fasting. It could be just for a few days. It could be for a longer period of time. Moses fasted from food and drink for 40 days. Jesus fasted from food for 40 days. Others have done that for 21 days, and in other days, 7 days. There's different reasons for fasting. It can be confession and repentance of sin that happened in Ezra and Nehemiah's day. It can be because you're seeking the will of the Lord. Ezra, when they were moving God's people from Babylon back to Jerusalem, they set up a fast, a time of fast, looking for God's guidance and God's grace in their travels together. So there's a lot of different ways and reasons to fast. Jesus is assuming that we would fast. This one, out of each of these examples, is probably the one that, if we're honest, we do the least. We do give. We do pray. But fasting is one that's a little harder to do. Fasting, essentially, is what is telling, what we're doing is we're telling God, I care about you and love you more than I do food. I don't normally do this. But someone gave me a pastor appreciation gift earlier of Little Debbie's, because I have consistently talked about how I love Little Debbie's over and over, which means I probably talk about Little Debbie's way more than I ought to. And I love food, and I have a hard time thinking about a lot of things other than food sometimes. That's how we are.
In other words, you're human, right?
I am human. I sure am. I sure am. Do what?
Pass them out.
Pass all. What? I can pass them out. We can share. Let's get through the lesson. We can share. Yeah, I'm getting a little. I don't know if I want to give to those who are poor without Little Debbie's. I don't know. I'm going to keep them to myself. We love food, and we love things of this world. I think it is food, but I think it's other things. This is what Jesus is speaking of with fasting. So he's assuming that we would do that. So what is he saying here about these hypocrites? He's saying that when we do fast, the way that they fast, they let everybody know about it. So let me broaden this out besides just fasting for just a minute. When we do service and when we do things for the Lord, sometimes we want everybody to know about it. We post it on social media or we share it when we're talking to people in conversations. And let me say this. I have shared with y'all, I told y'all last week, that these things that we have studied in the Sermon on the Mount, every week I have had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I am guilty of this. And I need to confess, I need to repent, and I often need to do that. And thinking about this as doing these good Christian things, even this week I've thought, how often have I in conversations with people just casually told them about my busy schedule of the week as a pastor? And I ask myself, why am I doing that? Is it because I want people to pray for those people, or because I want them to say, wow, David, you're doing a great job? I hope it's the first, but I know my own heart. And a lot of times it's my vanity, it's my pride, because I want them to say, good job, David. You're doing what you're supposed to do. When in reality, my Father knows what I do in secret, even if no one else does. We're scared that we're not going to get the recognition that we think we deserve in our own Christian life. And Jesus is saying, stop worrying about recognition. Stop worrying about what other people think about what you are doing or you're not doing. Just give to the poor, pray, and fast, and the Lord of all sees what you are doing. So these hypocrites, they would fast in such a way that people would recognize it. It says that they neglect their appearance so that people would say, hey, are you okay? I'm just fasting, brother. I'm just seeking the Lord. I'm just seeking His will right now. And why? So that they can get a pat on the back. Jesus says, well, verse 17, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face. He's saying, wash up, take a shower, you know, do whatever you need to do. Make it look like a normal day during a fasting day so that you're not noticed by men. It's not men that we're trying to serve and honor and glorify. It's the Lord. So again, if no one ever knows how much you give or that you give, if no one ever knows that you fast or how much you fast, that's okay, because you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for the Lord. If no one knows how much you serve in the church, then that's okay. Then your Father sees what you are doing.
That's
right. If people never know the phone calls you make, or the visits that you do, or the things that you do around the church building, again, that's okay. It's not about being making much of yourself before men. It's about honoring the Lord. And a part of this, that's the whole message of what Jesus is trying to get at. And he tells us throughout this consistently, when you seek the applause of men and to be get a pat on the back from men, you have your reward. You've got it right there. It's the hand clap from people, and that's all you're going to get. But when you serve the Lord as you ought to, then you will be rewarded by your Father. So let's talk about those rewards, and then we'll briefly, and then ask one or two questions. These rewards, again, for the hypocrite are the applause of men. For the believer, the reward, number one, is it's eternal life. We understand that. We don't serve. We don't do these things. We don't give. Make sure I say this clearly. We don't give. We don't pray. We don't fast to be saved. We do that because we have been saved. We serve the Lord because of what he has done for us. And our great reward is eternal life for him. And that's enough. It is life forever with Christ. But I do think that there are some specific things that we are rewarded in. Joy of serving and honoring the Lord. There's a joy that you get when you truly serve the Lord. You get that. There's a reward of giving to those who are in need, because the Bible tells us it's more blessed to give than to receive. And we understand what that means. Talking to someone, I won't call him out, just the other day, he talked about, I don't care if I get any kind of Christmas presents. I love to buy and to give to people, because I'd love to see them get gifts. And this is what Jesus is talking about, being a cheerful giver, being able to give to those who are in need, and recognizing that there is this blessing of being able to serve and to give to people, to be able to do that. There's this reward of knowing that you help someone. Reward of prayer, a communion with the Lord. That's what we're looking for, to have a fellowship with the Lord, to walk step in step with God. When you're truly in line with God in prayer as you ought to be, you understand what that means of that reward. And then the reward that's promised in fasting, we are truly satisfied in God and God alone. That's our reward.
Amen.
Realizing that the things of this world don't truly matter. They're fading away. And that God alone can satisfy us. So two questions. These were at the top of that last sheet for us to just end on and consider as we leave tonight. Who is our audience in the Christian life? Who are you living for? Is it God or is it man? A question that, again, I hope you know that I have to ask myself all the time. All of these things, I have to check myself. Again, especially because a lot of my ministry is public, and I have to constantly search my own heart and say, God, at the end of the day, why am I doing this? Go ahead, Matt.
You know, who is your audience in your Christian life? Certainly your children, grandchildren, your friends. I mean, you do have an audience.
You do, yeah.
And of course, ultimately, God is who we've got to please, for sure. But, I mean, you've got to live your life before men to show that He is what he says he is.
Sure. And I think there's a balance there. That's why we started with Jesus talking about shining your light before men, so that they would recognize Christ and glorify him. So I think there's a balance. And I think what Jesus is getting at here about, the reason I asked it that way is, what's motivating us? And is it honoring the Lord or the applause of men? And so again, that last final question, why do we do what we do in the Christian life? To glorify God or to be applauded by men? And something for us, at least go home, pray through, consider, ask the Lord to search our hearts. God, why do I give? Why do I pray? Why do I fast? Why do I serve you? What's truly the motivating factor behind this? Is it for your honor and glory? I hope so. If not, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry I've made this about me. Life's not about me. Worship's not about me. Service is not about me. Giving and praying is not about me. It's about the Lord. And that's ultimately what Jesus is trying to teach us here. in this passage, and I pray that that's true of each of us. Let's pray together. Father, again, as I've said over and over, what a challenging word we have before us tonight. God, I pray that you would, Lord, help us to be honest with you and with ourselves, Lord. God, I pray if there is vanity and pride in our Christian walk, Lord, God, I pray that you would help us to put that to death. God, I pray that we would be believers that walk in humility, Lord, before you and before our brothers and sisters. Lord, as we just talked about, I do pray for opportunities to be able to shine forth our light to a watching world before our children and grandchildren and neighbors and co-workers and the lost, Father. I pray that we can make much of Christ to them, Lord, but I pray that we do so with the right heart, the right attitude, the right motivation, Lord. Not for our own applause, but for your name, Lord. As the psalmist says, not to our name be glory, Lord, but to your name be glory alone. Lord, that's our prayer. That's our heart, Father. God, again, I pray that you would help us to be individual Christians in a church that makes much of you and seeks to glorify you in all that we say, all that we think, and all that we do, Father. It's Christ's name I pray. Amen.